Well, we are at the Coral Creek Club in Placidia, Florida, and joining us here today at Golfers on Golf is Aaron Stevens, the golf course superintendent. And Aaron, welcome to Golfers on Golf. It's nice to meet you, and I have a chance to talk to you at this beautiful golf facility here in Florida.
Thank you for having me, Rory.
And I know that you haven't been with the property a long time, but it seems like no sooner than you get here, the club right away decided to make some changes on the golf course and do a little bit of a renovation. Take us through that, and I'm assuming that you were prepared for that's what it was going to be when you got here.
Yeah, I guess to go back a little bit on the timeline, I was brought in by the ownership. It was June of 2019, and that was the year before we were due to start the renovation. The club had experienced a lot of problems with a lot of turf loss on greens, and you know, after 21 years, the course is really showing its age. So, you know, I came in primarily at first, you know, on a consulting interim basis, full time for the club, and then, you know, and obviously, after that first year when we got it ready for the season prior to the renovation, you know, they asked me to stay on board, and so this is where I'm at. You know, as you know, it was March 2020 that we started the renovation, and we were back open by the first week of November of 2020. So we basically did about a 9-month renovation in about 5 to 6 months.
Was it a good time to do it based on what was going on with the pandemic?
You know, I think the pandemic was, you know, at first it, you know, kind of made things a little unsettling because nobody really knew what was going on at the time. I think we closed probably about, we'd already sprayed out the golf course to kill it, so we were already committed. That started in late February. By the time March rolled around, you know, we ended up closing early. I think we got like a 2 or 3 week jump on what we normally would have closed, which worked in everybody's favor. And then obviously with the things going on in the United States at that time, you know, they're shutting down a lot of things. But fortunately, they had kept golf courses as an essential, you know, agriculture, golf courses. They kept that as basically an essential, you know, worker to protect the, to protect the investment, the property. So we never skipped a beat, and we just plundered right through this renovation.
Well, I have to believe that when you got the renovation done, based on what's happened in the golf world, the amount of people playing, that you probably had a full load of members trooping right back out to the golf course and playing a lot of golf.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so prior, you know, after our net, you know, when we reopened after, I mean, it was, you know, we had a lot of walkers. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of shifted and changed there a little bit because we started getting a lot of walkers in the beginning of the pandemic and then even at the end, which for me is great because, you know, when you're maintaining a golf course at a very high standard and level of maintenance, the more walkers you see, the happier you are. So, you know, I was very fortunate to have that going.
Well, tell us a little bit about working with the Fazio Group on this project. And I know you said it probably had been a while since anything was done, but tell us a little bit about some of the main focus that you did out there. You know, more often than not, it's bunkers or it's tees and trees. Sometimes it's a matter of trying to lengthen yardage, especially if you're looking to host some tournaments. Take us through the highlights of the renovation.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is my third renovation with the Fazio Group. Actually, it's probably the third renovation in 10 years with Fazio's. You know, obviously, you know, from Tom down to his son Logan, and then our main guy on the property was Ron Smith. You know, worked with all of them a lot. It's the Fazio is very top in their game as far as architects are concerned. So when we had the master plan done for the club, there were 6 goals there. I don't have the plan in front of me, but you know, the goals were to, one was obviously to regrass the golf course. One was to get all the greens back out to their original sizes. And there was going to be some changes as far as some of the slopes and grades on greens. That's a given. You know, open up, get the greens back out to size. And then there's a lot of, there's some addition and deletions of bunkers that were no longer in strategy. Obviously, the game and the length of the game has changed. Cleaning up a lot of tree work, overgrown brush, and there's a few other things there. adding tees and yardage for future tournaments, obviously, we always thought about that throughout the whole entire renovation process, and we actually slipped in some tees, you know, that weren't even on the plan, because we knew that we can gain the yardage and say, hey, for the future, if we want to go after a USGA event or if we want to do something, let's get out ahead of it, you know. And obviously, we know here in the future, if we ever want to go big events, we're still probably going to have to squeeze some more tee yardage out.
How much yardage did you add during the renovation? And, you know, a lot of the clubs have switched over from the old kind of brownish sand into the white sand. Was the white sand always here? They look spectacular. It really makes the holes jump out visibly here at the golfer when you play the course now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's obviously cover the sand. We used a sand that's out of here in Florida. It's called Pro G Angle. It's an angular sand. And what it does is, as far as the aggregate of the sand for compaction and all that, there's just a higher quality of sand. You know, they don't get super compacted. A lot of clubs are now using it up north. You guys would probably use another one called Pro Angle out of the plants up there. So that's the angular sand technology that all the newer courses and renovations are doing currently. The brilliant white sand, obviously, everybody loves. Prior to this, I don't know what original sand they had in these bunkers, but the bunkers weren't lined. And as you can imagine, with tropical storms, heavy Florida rains in the summers, with no lot, the bunkers here were so contaminated, they almost kind of had like a sandstone color. I mean, very unappealing.
It doesn't look like, based on the trees that are out there, that you would have really had to take many of them out unless they were damaged or dying for some reason. But did you end up clearing a few to add some tee boxes or things like that?
Yeah, we did. We cleared some trees out on the back of number three to put a new metal tee in. Obviously, there's areas around some of the greens complexes that we wanted more sunlight in, so we removed some of the big dead pines that had just been there for years untouched. So we had a tree company out here helping us drop all the big stuff. And since we had the contractor on board, so I could keep my crew busy, my crew did all the underbrushing on the property. So we rented all the equipment and we knocked it out. So we took that out of the contractor's scope. My guys did that until we started putting grass in the ground. And then we made that shift from cleaning the whole property back to growing grass again. So it worked out really well. We didn't have to take a lot of tree material out, but we took out what made sense.
Well, I have to ask you, with the airport nearby and the members flying in there, how many reports did you get or questions did you get as people were probably looking at it as they flew over the golf course?
You know, it was funny. We had one member that every now and again would send me the aerials. And, you know, we're always boots on the ground. And when you see some of these flyers, aerials, you're like, wow, it's actually really coming along a lot better than you think, because you're always looking at it from ground level. Yeah, they would see it, you know, and they would, you know, and I think probably by the end of, let's see, we finished all our grassing in August. And we were open for play the first week of November. So when they're starting to come back and forth, they couldn't believe how fast the grass is coming in. So this was a very successful renovation, and the members saw that. And I think they were really surprised about the timeline and how committed we were to the timeline. And thank God, Mother Nature kind of stayed away from us a little bit. You know, as you know, hurricane season, you know, nobody ever wants to mention the H word during a renovation. Things can go sideways really quick.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they were really impressed with the progress and how fast it went.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure the members, they get out there, they see that, they had to be thrilled. And also, of course, you reopened at a time when people were looking to do something and find activities during the pandemic. And I'm sure there was a flood of people that went out there to play golf. And I got to believe, from what I saw today, they probably played a lot of golf.
You know, it was really amazing. All over TV, they were talking about, you know, during the pandemic, you know, the social distancing. And lo and behold, you know, we're in that industry, in that sport, you're outside. You can play golf by yourself. You can do it safely. And there's a, you know, and looking in my industry and looking at the numbers, there's a huge surge in golf. I think the whole entire industry had a whole entire surge in it. And that's really good for the game because, you know, I think every, you know, every 10 years, you know, golf can have, you know, peaks and valleys. You know, I don't think we'll ever see the days of the 90s again when it was the boom, when they're building 600 courses a year. But I think this is going to finally be a good uptick for our industry, and I think there's going to be more golf developments going. I think there's going to be a lot more preservation and definitely a lot more renovations of existing golf courses.
Did you get Tom to Fazio to come out here either during the renovation or after it, take a look at how things progressed?
You know, he was out here prior, you know, probably a year prior to the renovation. He hasn't come back since because of the whole pandemic thing. But he's talking about, he's talked to our general manager and our ownership that I think he plans on coming out here in the next couple months because he really wants to see the product. His lead guy, Ron Smith, was out here probably about a month and a half ago, and we went around and, you know, Ron was blown away by the conditions, and he was, you know, He was photographing all these holes with his iPad and sending them right to Tom. So Tom's definitely very much been in the loop.
Well, I understand Tom's getting a new partner in a couple of months when he wraps up his duties at the USGA. And I have to believe that maybe a few courses that Mike Davis and Tom Fazio will visit, they will take a look at the prospects for some championships coming in from Mike's old place of business.
Tommy was out here, you know, under, you know, his uncle, Tom. And, yeah, him and Mike Davis teamed up, as we've all heard about on, you know, the Golf Channel and everything. Actually, Mike Davis was out here 3 to 4 weeks ago, and he played. And he sent out a very, very promising email, you know, that from the email, he's very impressed with the golf course. He was very impressed with the conditions. I think he was very impressed with our timetable and how soon everything was so good, you know, and, you know, we might be picking the scab a little bit to see what kind of events we could get in the future, but, you know, we just don't know right now. But it's definitely, you know, always having, you know, that network and the great relationships with people, and you just never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us how you keep the greens so perfect. You know, I'm out there playing with your director of membership and that pro, Alan Pope, and he's out there striping the ball and making putts. But I'm standing on the green, not only watching him play, but I'm looking around at the green, and I'm like, are we the first people who have played this course this year? Because the greens look that good. And it was just amazing the condition they were in, and it almost looked like nobody had walked on them in 3 months.
Well, thank you for that, Rory. We just run very solid, consistent programs here. My team is very dialed in. They're very in the know of what we're trying to achieve. I always preach to, I even tell the membership, but I preach to everybody here at the club. It's not all about speed, firmness. The first thing you got to tackle first is consistency. Once you have consistency, everything else will fall into place. And that's basically what has happened for us. You know, with the consistency, I always look for, hey, you know, the first couple months coming out of renovation, my first thing is get the greens consistent. And for me, that means I want them within 6 inches of each other. And then as time goes on, I try to narrow that gap. And, you know, and I think there's some days, hey, if I get some rain, the greens will slow down. Or if I get that day that it's blown 25 and I didn't put water out there and the greens aren't holding, you know, the member can come back and always tell me, it's like, well, you know, we can say one thing is that they're very consistent. So that's just a lot of hard work and effort by my team, my assistants, you know, by sticking to our programs and just making sure that, you know, we stick with those programs, and they're very good programs. So tried and true, you know, my peers, you know, my mentors in the business, I learned a lot. So
if there's anything out there you would like people to know about Coral Creek Club, especially for people in Chicago, that if they come down and they look at membership here, they might actually, I understand, find a few other people from Chicago that are already here.
Yeah, we have a lot of members from Chicago. So a great group of members here. we're doing a great membership drive now. I'm sure our, you know, Alan, our director, has told you the uptick in the interest in the club. And I think the great thing about this club is, you know, I've been in a lot of top clubs, and but this one's really special because it's tucked away. It's tucked away. It's under the radar. And if you drove by it, you would know it was here. And you saw the sign coming into the club, so you know. But yeah, it's truly a special place. You know, we have a lot of special people that are members here, so that's what makes it even more enjoyable.